So let's start with the beginning as best as you can by memory.
The ridiculousness of having only five practices where you're actually in training camp, where you're actually hitting.
So you're going to start at training camp.
I will start with training camp.
Are we okay with field day?
I'm fine with field day.
I'm fine with field day, too.
Can I say this just quickly?
Yes, sir.
I know people have issues with field day and all this other stuff. Guys, it's all about building up camaraderie. Like, it's all about building up your team together. And believe it or not, listener.
One practice doesn't matter. That's why they took Thanksgiving
off. It's not just one practice doesn't matter. You could practice all the time. You could have all the plays put together. You could have guys, you know, work as much as you want, right, on the field.
Sure.
If they're not playing for one another, it doesn't happen.
Right.
I'll give you a great story just real quick, and then we got to go. Isaiah Thomas said this. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas with the Detroit Pistons did what back-to-back NBA championships. He said they won their championships not because of how good they were on the court, but because of the bus rides.
Right.
The camaraderie that they had together, the chemistry that they had. So you got to go and find ways how to be able to do that. And you know what? To be honest, you have fun at your job, right? You have days where you want to have fun at your job. It's the same thing what you have the guys do as well. And it's only one day in the off season. It's okay to have that day.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Training camp. The approach to training camp will be number one.
Yes.
Right?
It was terrible.
It was up until training camp, we were excited. We were optimistic. Russ had guys in San Diego at Camp Russ at the old mansion out there,
yes,
right? At the complex.
Look great.
At the compound, the old horse training facility. Mm-hmm. But and then training camp came, and I got to back up. Training camp's got to be number two.
Okay. What you got number one?
Training camp's got to be number two. Okay. It's got to be the way they assembled this staff. And I think right away, one of the biggest red flags was on defense, hey, you did a great job bringing in Dom Capers, a wise old sage, right? Somebody who you could go to and who all of these new coaches and new roles could go to for guidance on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
You brought him in. Offensively, you didn't want that in the building.
Right.
You didn't.
Right.
And you should have, because eventually you ended up having to hire Rosberg. So, number one, it's staff.
Yes.
You hired an inexperienced staff.
Yes.
You clearly hired your buddies at several positions, including game day management with, what the hell was that clown's name? Brad Miller.
Just become best
the guy who, the guy who was coordinating all their analytics from the Parma Panthers, the guy who was in the Italian Football League.
Right.
Yeah, so staff is going to be number one. A poorly hired staff, poorly thought out, Justin out, and you brought your buddy in, and he had no qualifications, and you hired a quarterback coach who's more qualified.
Okay. And by the way, your offensive coordinator, not calling plays.
Right. No, absolutely. So that's all part of staff.
That's down the list, though, right?
All a part of staff.
Chronological order, folks.
Right, chronological order. We're going by order of occurrence. So staff is number one.
Right.
Training camp is number two.
Yes.
Despite the fact that you had such an inexperienced staff, right, and not only that, but you had so many new moving pieces, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, and you had a ton of new players at important positions. You decided that it was more important to prioritize being healthy at the end of the year rather than callousing yourself up and being as prepared as possible in your very first NFL opportunity for week one and the first 8 weeks of your schedule, which was the easier part of your schedule, which you knew heading in had to be at least 5-3 most likely to make the playoffs, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So decided not to get into football shape.
And you know what's interesting is if you went ahead and actually had a more physical training camp, you know, with all the injuries that you have now, you will actually find out and know who are some guys you could trust and where you could trust them. You know, Albert O, by the way, he hasn't played in a while. You may have forgotten him.
Right.
You may have actually been able to help him a little bit more as a blocker or been able to let him go and know that he's not going to be a guy that you could rely on to block on 3rd and 1.
Right. So 7-on-7, complete lack of 7-on-7.
Yeah, no 7-on-7.
No 7-on-7, no 1-on-1.
No 1-on-1s.
None of that.
Later on in the
None
camp.
Of that.
Because why do you need that? Why do you need it right now when your quarterback, he's just Russell Wilson? He knows where to throw the ball. He knows where the ball should go.
The first red flag for me was the first day of training camp when I walked in, 30 minutes in, I started to look around. And then I started to ask people, I was like, are they starting soon? Like, no, this is it, Matt. This is what they're doing. I said, what are you talking about? This is what they're doing. I've seen harder training camps every single year at CU. Mm-hmm. Are you joking?
Right.
Okay. So that's number one. Training camp, decided not to get calloused, didn't get as prepared as possible, knew that you didn't have that communication, and opted not to play Russ whatsoever and rested a bunch of other starters rather than getting calloused, rather than getting in game shape. You had a whole month to do it. You opted not to take that opportunity. So we've got two.
Right.
Your staff, inexperienced offensively, you hired so many new people, you didn't have adults in the room. Number two, training camp.
Yes.
All right?
But let's have some fun. Let's actually go with the on-the-field product, right? Because there was a second preseason game. And even though I get it, right, Buffalo, they, you know, they had their starters in for one drive. But the way
and shredded you, and then their backups came in and did the exact same thing.
That was a huge red flag right
there. Huge.
Yep. Huge, huge red flag. We all saw it. We all were like, well, you're not as physical in training camp. We all saw it in... What else was done after that?
What happened after that game? Do you remember?
They played against Minnesota?
No. Nathaniel Hackett apologized
to
the fan base.
He apologized to the fan.
Number three.
It's not a good idea.
Fan base apology in the preseason. Hey, bro, it's the preseason. Stuff happens. Nobody's really trying. We get it.
Right.
Preseason apology.
Wrong guess.
Preseason apology. So that's three. We've got staff, training camp, preseason apology.
And
right?
We're skipping over some things, by the way, too.
Oh, go ahead.
I mean, we're skipping over some things.
If anything comes to mind, let me know.
Because when you talk about the importance of having 9-on-7 when that's your main run drill in practice, and you don't do that, that's ridiculous. When you don't have 7-on-7, you don't have 1-on-1s.
Right, that's training camp.
That's all training camp,
right.
Though. But
so we got it.
We get it. But it's just... Okay.
You're right. There are intricacies, and it's certainly more complex than the generalizations that I imagine that we're going to make some of these out to be.
Can I say one more, too?
Yeah, go on.
And we talk about training camp. Not recognizing your talent early enough to say, hey, this guy isn't going to cut it for what we're going to do.
Right. Everybody, that was the one kind of elephant in the room amongst media at training camp. It's, hey, these guys don't look good at all. The offense looks really bad.
Right.
Hey, when is Russell Wilson showing up? I came to see Russell Wilson, and the guy hasn't showed up. Okay. All right, so preseason apology. Number four. I'm going to say number four. Mm-hmm. You brought in a backup quarterback and then ended up going with the guy that you already had on the roster. Okay?
Right.
Backup quarterback. Brett Rypien and Josh Johnson. Clearly not addressing that position nearly enough, quite frankly.
No, you haven't.
So backup quarterback, right? Let's see.
We kind of go rapid fire a little bit.
I just want to say, I'm just thinking of personnel decisions prior to the regular season.
That was a major one. You could look at, punter. Heck, you're using a
great
punter
one
a lot this year.
Great one.
Right? You let go of Sam Martin, and now you're bringing Cole Swayman.
Absolutely. Unproven. And by the way, did you know, here's a little trivia, the only Bronco to have any sort of recognition for the All-Pro teams last season?
Mm-hmm.
Sam Martin.
Wow.
Honorable mention, All-Pro. Nobody else even named. Sam Martin cut in training camp to save $1 million.
Right. It's a lot of million. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Got to save that $1 million.
So punter. So backup quarterback. I got another one. Keeping two wide receivers on your 53 that are special teams players.
Yes.
Montrell Washington and Tyree Cleveland.
By the way, Tyree Cleveland, where's he at now? He's not on the roster anymore. So why did you do that? Makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense. Let's get into the season, shall we? Because there's plenty that is going on.
I got a preseason.
Oh, you got a preseason one?
Making excuses for the offense because they were going against that defense all preseason long.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's actually a really good point.
Because he was already passing it off.
No. But here's the thing about that, which is very interesting, because we knew the defense would be good. But you're making excuse after excuse for your offense and why they didn't look good. And, oh, by the way, as you're making all these different excuses, you went over and still signed Russell Wilson to this huge deal. So clearly
that's
something
not Hackett,
wasn't
though.
Working. I get it, but you know what? Hackett, you have some sort. For one reason or another, it wasn't working then.
He's an offensive guy.
I'm not putting that on Hackett.
Okay,
I'm not putting that on Hackett. I can't think of any other. I get where you're coming from, and if we did a George Payton list, I would agree with you. But that's not Hackett.
Let's go to the season.
So I've got personnel decisions, right? We've got staff, training camp, preseason apologizing, and personnel decisions, right?
In season. Handing off the ball at all to Melvin Gordon is a big one, especially at the goal line.
We'll just put Seattle debacle, okay? Because it was the Seattle game when we realized this guy can't manage a clock. Mm. This guy doesn't understand personnel.
Right.
This offense, hey, the offense looked okay. I mean, Russell Wilson threw for 340 yards. I don't think he's thrown for over 300 yards since. So the Seattle debacle, and then obviously the whole nonsense at the end with 46 left hash and deciding to not try and go for it on 4th and 5 when you had the momentum and opted to kick the field goal. Wasn't there like a minute left on the clock
He let it run down.
So Seattle debacle includes game management, includes communication issues, right? We realized that. We realized that completely. We realized at that moment that it was so dumb not to have played in the preseason, so you could have prepared. And you also didn't prepare for the fact that Seattle was going to be on fire rooting against Russell Wilson.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, can we go to the next game? Because that was the game I went with my son. By the way, again, my son, he's 3 years old. Mm-hmm. He now knows how to count from 8 all the way down to 1 because of, well, Nathaniel Hackett not being able to, and the crowd literally having to go and say, count down the play clock, because they didn't trust you as a play caller. They didn't trust that you were able to go and call a play, right?
So fans had to do your job. Number 8. Fans had to do your job. Right?
Do your job and quit making up.
So, and it was also before that game that we were made aware on Sunday morning in a leak to national reporters that the Broncos have changed their game day management operations, and they got rid of that guy, Brad Miller, who was had no experience whatsoever in the NFL, and his highest level of football experience was for the Parma Panthers in Italy, Italian American League football. So we're going to say game day management blunder before the Houston game, and then the fans had to do your job, right? Okay. What else happened in that Houston game that I'm trying to think?
Well, they won. They won that game. And remember, there was that deal where you could have kicked a field goal with Brendan McManus, but you decided not to, so then you had to delay a game, went back, and then you punted.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
I think it was third down.
Oh, God, yes. I do remember that. That was awful.
Yeah, it was
awful, terrible.
But you still won the game, so we were like, wow, this is pretty terrible, but you did win a game against a team that's now 1-8-1.
Okay. San Francisco.
You won. You won the game. You won the game.
Personnel decisions. Yes, Melvin Gordon fumbled not twice, but 3 times. Lost one of them and then recovered 2. Russ jumped on it on the goal line, and as they were driving down to take the lead, what would end up being the game-winning drive, he put the ball on the ground 1 more time and then was somehow able to have it bounce right back to him.
Right, like a basketball.
They kept giving him the ball. Personnel decisions,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's San Francisco. And from San Francisco, we go to Raiders.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
The Raider game.
Yes. Well, you gave the ball again to Melvin Gordon. You were actually driving. I believe you had the lead, too, at the time. And you fumbled, turned the game around. Completely turned the game around.
And you lose to Josh McDaniels.
And you lost to Josh McDaniels.
Once. Yes. The first time.
And you can't say anything about Javonte Williams. That was so just terrible that you lost him in that game. But
And Randy Gregory.
Yep. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, from a standpoint where you look at your personnel and what the head coach did, it comes back down to giving that guy the football, giving Melvin Gordon the football. And you shouldn't have. Hey, remember, I think that was his first carry, too, if I'm not mistaken, right? But that was the first carry that he had in that game, I think, and he fumbled. Either the first or second carry.
It was, actually. It was one of the first few carries. It was where he just... No, it was the very first.
Yeah, it was
the very first. He tried to make way too much happen, and then it was the scoop and score, right?
You know, I didn't realize how talking about bad news was actually so much fun.
Yeah,
because it actually makes me realize how terrible of a season this is, and we've actually all lived through it.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So that's Raider game. I would just say more personnel decisions and the inability to call plays when you were in a close game. I think that really hampered them. Remember how they were running the ball really effectively. Javonte went down, and then they went away from the run game when they trailed at all. They weren't committed to it.
Nope. By the way, 23 points, the most you scored all year. That was against.
Well, yeah.
Good old Raiders the first time around.
Is that a pro?
No. That's a con because the Raiders are terrible. But the Raiders are truly, truly terrible.
I'm just going to put Raiders, okay? That's reason 11, by the way. That's 11.
Oh, Colts, baby. I can't wait.
Indianapolis.
Count the ways on this one.
Yeah. This was really learning. Indianapolis was the first time that we learned that this team could snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, right?
Right.
I think that is, I'm going to put that. I'm going to say snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
You got to write this up, by the way. Just post it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know how much time I have. That's the problem. the whole debacle in the Colts game, game management, personnel.
Right.
I mean, Tyree Cleveland in there and you're calling plays to have him be one of your primary options.
Can I give you another one too?
Sure.
Allowing your quarterback to actually throw the football in that type of situation?
Yeah.
Where you should have ran the football?
So I'll say late. We already have game management
It's not even game management. You're not a grown-up in the room. You're not the grown-up in the room. That to me, that play alone showed me.
Talking about the end of regulation.
The end of regulation, getting close to the end of regulation, where you already have a three-point lead. And if you run the football, I believe you may have went to a two-minute warning or something like that. Or I think it was actually
You never had to give that was the thing. You never had to give the ball back.
You never did. And you could even talk about in overtime, fourth and one, neither worked out. I get it. KJ Hamler's wide open. Hey, maybe ever so often you could just run the football, something that was actually working during that drive. You didn't do it. You didn't go back.
I'm just going to put that back to play calling and strategy and scheme, quite frankly, because that was the first game I feel like we were like, oh my God, you can't beat this Colts team.
Right.
This Colts team that's in the dirt. Oh, there are serious problems here. Okay. That's reason 13. Okay. We're not even there yet. Charger game. Yet another example of a game that you are in that you cannot come up with. And again, you were up 10-0 and blew that lead.
Yes, yeah. So first time that you're up 10-0 and you lose.
Inability to play with a lead.
Right.
Okay. Anything else stick out to you from that Charger game?
I mean, you can't blame special teams. I mean, it was just inevitable that that was going to happen. But your defense played a tremendous
I'm
going to
write special teams on this cons list because it's been terrible since week one.
That is a big part. So, but you know what? That falls on who?
That's not Hackett.
Yeah, so special teams.
Oh, no, that's Hackett. Absolutely Hackett. Yeah, he was the one responsible of hiring Dwayne Stukes. Mm-hmm. Tom McMahon last year was an absolute laughingstock, and then he got out of here. The other thing is Hackett's now giving up play calling, so he could be in those special teams meetings. Special teams was terrible last week. I mean, it was terrible last week. Even after he spent the entire week going around to everybody, it was terrible last week. So inability to, what did I say, play with the lead, right? And then I just said special teams. Jeez, oh my God, I have to write all this. This is nuts. I mean, the whole point of this exercise is that there are, the list is so overwhelming and the evidence is so overwhelming. And we're not even through half the season yet, right? So special teams and the inability to play with the lead, that is the Charger game. Week 7, the Jets. That kind of highlighted, once again, your backup quarterback problem.
No. It's not even highlight the backup quarterback program. That's not the reason why I should be fired for that game. It's because you didn't stick with the running game at all. You have your backup quarterback throwing 40-plus times. 40-plus times in this game. And you don't run the ball. You don't stick to it at all. Brett Rippett threw 46 times in that game.
Oh, that's right. Yep,
46
thank you. Yep.
Times in that football game.
Inability to come up with a game plan, game plan.
But you look at the numbers, at least from that standpoint, you had 21 first downs in that game, right? 320 some odd yards against a really good Jets defense with your backup quarterback. Hey, that's nothing to sneeze at, but at least it's something, right?
Sure.
But you don't stick with the running game, and you should have, and you just didn't do it. I get it. You had 28 rushing attempts.
Yeah.
You kept it going.
Yeah. Jacksonville in London. You won. You won this game.
You won.
This was one of those wins.
You won.
And
hey,
what about?
Whoa, can we get a ding?
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Just a sympathy ding. Just a little. You know, I feel bad for you.
Oh,
here's
man,
a
you won.
Here's a little ding.
Ah,
oh,
there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Okay, so Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You went out there really early, but you won.
You won.
But you won.
You won the game.
All right. So
not
nothing.
A fireball offense.
Nothing that was. Yeah, you better believe it, baby. And then afterwards. Not cutting Melvin Gordon. I would say accountability, lack of an ability to hold players and key members of your team accountable.
And oh, by the way, you have a bye week. So you could have made any move that you needed to make. You obviously had Latavius Murray, right? That was the first game that he played. So you could have said, hey, we're going to get somebody else during this time, right? During the bye week.
I want to go back and retroactively add one to that first Raiders game, and that's inability to make in-game adjustments.
Yes.
Because you knew what Josh Jacobs was going to do in the second half, and you couldn't do diddly squat about it. Okay, you got the bye week. Don't make any changes, so I'm going to put stubborn. And then we get to Tennessee. Anything else from the bye week that they handled well or didn't?
You know, I'm just going to be happy about the win. Just let the win speak for itself, right?
Because even though it was glaringly obvious that things needed to be changed.
Sure.
And this was the time to do it.
They won, right?
But you deluded your delusional.
Yes.
Number 20.
One, two, three, Cancun.
Yes.
Yep. All right, so then Tennessee.
Oh, my God. Why is your quarterback getting hit 18 times?
I mean, just play all the greatest hits of all these reasons we just listed. And I mean, but that was also partially.
Yes.
So we'll say.
Three wide receiver. Why are we a three wide receiver where you have all these backups in?
But they stopped Derrick Henry. That was the thing. They stopped Derrick Henry. Didn't get in the red zone. Right. Red zone, red zone offense, we'll add, right, to this list of cons.
That's another game that you're up 10-0. You give up a touchdown right before halftime. And I don't know how clock management was. I can imagine it was bad. I mean, I don't remember that much. There's been so much bad football around. But, I mean, here's another thing, too, to be very honest. And you got to put a star on this one. And I say this with all sincerity. It's unwatchable. And what I mean by that is
bad and boring.
Once the pandemic hit, more and more people have found different things to do with their time.
Right.
And you don't have to sit around for 3 hours of your life and watch a football game where you could go outside, you could spend time with your family, you could do all these other different things. You're not going to sit around and watch a football game. It is a bad product to look at. That's just the reality of what's going on.
And this brings us to last week. The Raiders made the move to relinquish play calling too late, but you did it.
Right.
But you made the move too late.
Can I, and I need to look this up, but third quarter scoring, too.
Oh, it's been atrocious.
What does that show?
In-game adjustments,
but also adjustments coming out of halftime.
Right.
You go into the break.
That's kind of what I meant.
But you don't make any type of in-game adjustments.
Okay, so you want to add halftime adjustments as in-game adjustments.
Yes, that is huge. Okay. That is huge.
Halftime adjustments.
Because what are you going to the break for? Like, what are you going to the locker room for if you're not making any type of adjustments? Like, what are you doing?
What are you guys doing?
And then that leads us up to this week where they gave the guys Thanksgiving off, even though he complained constantly that the wonky schedule was really holding them back.
Right.
He decided to change routine. And one thing we know about football players is they are creatures of habit.
Right.
And any alteration to their routine is significant in that world.
But you know what you could do is, I don't know, maybe practice earlier in the day, get everything done.
Thanksgiving,
and then
man.
Let's go. We get that. But
be an adult.
Get your work done.
I mean, be an adult. No, that's what I'm saying.
Really, like, get your work done early and move on from there. By the way, when I talked about third quarter scoring, and this is why it's so important, right? The Broncos have the fewest points per game in the third quarter, 1.2 points a game. You need to make sure you let people know about that, by the way, when you talk about the Broncos. 1.2 points per game. You want to know who has the most in the third quarter? And it's not really a shock. Kansas City, a touchdown, 7.9. Then you have Dallas, 7.5. New England, 7.1. Baltimore, 6.8. A little bit of surprise here for me, though. Chicago, 6 points, right?
Okay.
But when you look at the top four teams, especially Kansas City, and let you know this, they go into the locker room and they draw up something and they're able to make something happen after halftime.
Somebody
the Broncos don't do it.
Somebody on the text line says, see what they've done well. You clearly are coming in late to this process. We've got a whole pros list. And now that we're done, we've reached where we're at.
Yeah, but you know, let's go over the positives. You know, because guys, there's been a lot of
people. We got to recap.
We're going to recap the positives for you, baby.
Yeah, we will. Number one, because it is year one.
There it is.
We're waiting for it.
Come on, bring it in.
There we go.
There you go.
Implementing your playbook further in year two.
Okay.
Injuries. So many guys were injured. Yes. So many starters out. Yes. How could you possibly tell what he has to bring to the table when you're missing this much talent? That's number three.
Right.
These are all reasons to bring Nathaniel Hackett back
and justification for year two of
Hackett and Company.
Yeah.
Number four, coach who monitors and cares about player safety.
Right.
We don't want to take it too far in training camp because an unnecessary injury in the preseason or in training camp could be very detrimental when we're making that playoff push at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Hey, number five, this guy, man. I tell you what, this is salt of the earth. What a nice man.
What a nice guy.
What a nice man. Just a kind soul, quite frankly. Number five.
Yes.
Kind guy.
Yes.
Number six, consistency. You can't expect a franchise to turn around, Justin, if you have 4 coaching searches in 6 years after Peyton Manning retired.
You need that stability.
Remember
the issues we have in Boulder? Coach after coach after coach. Look, you can't do that.
No consistency. This guy needs a fair shake,
give him
right?
Number two.
This guy needs a fair shake.
Yes.
Number eight. We missed it. Did we get a ding for consistency? There we go. Number eight. You trust George Payton.
Yes.
George Payton In ye we trust.
Yes.
Good sir.
Yes.
You brought in Patrick Surtain. You brought in Baron Browning. You found Caden Stearns, right? This is a guy that we have faith in, despite the fact that he went on an excessive coaching surge. Number nine. Boy, does this guy bring the energy.
Yes.
I mean, oh my goodness. You never seen anybody fire up a room. And does he? And he likes to laugh. Number 10, he likes to laugh. That's a late entry. Loves to good laugher.
He makes sloth smile.
Good laugher.
Right? I tell you what, man, he makes people just all excited. Man, turtles maybe just doing flips around this guy.
Thank you.
The top 10.
Thank you. That was the top 10.
There you go. All the negatives.
Oh, and now it's a recap of every single reason why this guy should be out of town.
I need you to do it. Can you do it as fast as possible with as few breaths as possible? Of why he should be gone.
We'll find out next. It's Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan. Well, you're welcome, George Payton, because Justin Adams and I have been diligently doing your work for you today. And I know it's a holiday weekend, buddy, and I just thought you could use a hand because clearly you need it. So to recap one final time, we have made a list. We've created the list of reasons why Hackett should be brought back and reasons why he shouldn't. One more time with those positives, because, folks, look, it's holiday weekend.
Right.
We have good spirits, high spirits.
You know what? Christmas music is coming back. It's all about love.
It's love and joy, peace to the world. Number one is because it's 1 year. Number two is because he'd have more time to implement his playbook, even though he's not calling plays. Number three. Gosh, do they have so many injuries? It's hard to really judge what this team could be without all these injuries. Number four, he's a coach who respects player safety. Don't want to take it too tough in training camp so this team that hasn't done anything can be ready for the playoffs, right? But that's player safety, folks.
Yeah.
Putting it first. Number five, he's just a nice guy. Number six, consistency. Can you really go through a fourth coaching search since Peyton Manning retired? This would be the fourth if they let him go. Number seven, you just trust George Payton.
Yeah.
You trust the man.
You trust him.
You trust him. It's a long-term plan here. It's a vision.
And you know what? They looked at 10 guys.
Yeah.
He was the cream of the crop.
He was the cream of the crop. Clearly, there's a reason they made this decision. We just can't see it yet. Number nine. Boy, does he bring the energy. He is energetic. You will pay attention to that team meeting. You're never going to fall asleep.
Nope.
Number 10. Boy, is he a good laugher. He'll cut it up with you. Make some good jokes. Right? Fun guy to play for. Takes it easy on you. That's the positives.
Beautiful, beautiful. You get a hand clap.
Yeah. We did a nice job.
That's beautiful. Baby. You know what? The way we work together on that was just
teamwork makes the dream work,
baby. There it is.
Now for the cons.
And there's really only one way to go through the cons, folks.
How's that, Justin?
You have to have one of the greatest songs ever played.
Or you need a soundtrack, you're saying. Yeah.
Got to put
just some music to kind of set the mood and establish a tone.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, you got to put this thing.
That sounds about right. You hired a terrible staff with no experience on the offensive side of the football, even though you did on the defensive side of the football. Number two, boy, did you not prepare in training camp whatsoever. You didn't get yourself calloused. Nobody was in football shape. You didn't have 7-on-7. You didn't have 1-on-1. You weren't working on taking this full speed every day and building up these guys into well-oiled machines and preparing as much as he possibly could. Number three, that preseason apology. Boy, we already understood that things weren't going to be perfect in the preseason, but you felt like you had to apologize after that Bills game anyway. Number four, you didn't understand personnel. Putting together this 53-man roster, why would you have two wide receivers that are dedicated just for special teams in Montreal, Washington, and with Tyree Cleveland? Melvin Gordon, really? Melvin Gordon, really? Brett Rippon over Josh Johnson, really? Number five, you let your all-pro honorable mention punter leave. You just told him goodbye because you found a cheaper option. And boy, did you save yourself $1 million. Number seven, the Seattle debacle. 46 left hash. Not letting Russ throw on 4th and 5. Boy, the play calling was very interesting, to say the least. And you lost to Seattle in the first game of the year. Number eight, fans had to do your job for you against the Houston Texans. 5, 4, 3, 2. Counting down from the stands? Are you kidding me? You counted down from the stands because there were so many delay of game penalties? Are you kidding me with that? Indecision. Game day management. Personnel decision. You lost to the Raiders twice. You could snatch defeat from the jaws of victory like nobody else, my friend. Here's to you, we raise our glass. Boy, has this play calling that was supposed to be this wide zone, was supposed to be the West Coast offense, was supposed to be Mike Shanahan. I'm still waiting to see it, buddy, but now it's up to Clint Kubiak because you played the last card you had to play and you gave up your play calling responsibilities and you were supposed to be an offensive genius hired to fix the offense. And boy, you've got the worst offense in the league. How's that possible, coach? How? Tell me. An elite quarterback, $250 million. It's the worst. You've got an inability to play with the lead. You've given up 3 10-point leads when you were up 10-0. Special teams nightmare. You were supposed to be better, and you are now the worst in the league. You had Todd McMahon leaving his van, and you brought in Dwayne Stukes, and boy, has it been terrible. You don't replace a kick returner and a punt returner who's made nothing but bonehead decisions this year. Special teams have been a nightmare. Your game plan, number 16, this game plan has been atrocious. When was the next time you scored on the first possession one time, and you did it last week, and that was with a different play caller? You cannot put together a game plan. Number 17, a lack of accountability. So I guess if a running back just fumbles all the time and is the career active leader in fumbles by a running back, or any other player for that matter, it's just okay. If he whines and he pouts and he makes comments and likes tweets about how he wants to get out of here, you then give him starters responsibilities? Where's the accountability? There's none of it. Then when you finally say, okay, we've had enough, you do it too late when it really doesn't make any sort of statement other than make you look foolish because you cut a guy at a position you're now banged up at. Nice job, genius. Number 18, you can't make in-game adjustments. When was the last time you saw the Broncos in the middle of the game able to actually recognize, address something the other team was doing, and then take it away? You don't see it. At halftime, you don't make adjustments. Coming out of the half, you knew Josh Jacobs was going to run all over you in the second half, and you just let it happen. Number 19, you're stubborn. You're keeping things status quo. You're keeping things status quo. I like the staff we have in place. Number 20, you're a bit delusional, buddy. You hired Brad Miller, your friend from the Parma Panthers, to be your analytics manager? What were you thinking? Red zone. You happen to not only have the worst offense, it's the worst offense in the red zone in the NFL, and you're an offensive genius, pal. I don't understand what's happening there. Number 23, scheme. Scheme, this is Russell Wilson. He's a declining, aging quarterback. We all know that by now. Can you adjust and adapt your scheme to fit his strengths? Not yet, you can't. Number 24, awareness. Did you really just tell us in the press conference that you didn't know what you were doing and you were reaching for the button because you're trying to talk to Russ, but you didn't have a button? What else are you doing here, pal? Number 25, indecision. Number 26, we've had enough.
Oh, no. We got one more.
We lead the league of penalties, baby.
Penalties! Come on now!
Woo!
One step forward, two steps back. One step forward, two steps back. Come on!
Sorry about that.
That's impressive. That's you know what? We've done several segments together. That's the best I've ever heard of you right there, man.
Is that the best?
Oh, my God. That is amazing. Get yourself some water, man. That's impressive.
I wish it could have come under better circumstances.
Yeah. No, that's...
You know, I covered a whole championship run last year. Nothing was
right,
better.
Right. I'm just saying, there's peak Matt Smith, and right there, baby.
That was it.
That's the peak, man.
I don't know where we go from here now.
Well, literally.
So the whole point of this exercise, folks, is to all of the folks who are saying, hey, it's just his first year. Hey, you've got injuries. Hey, he could implement his playbook. Hey, he cares about player safety. Hey, he's a nice guy. Hey, you've had so many coaching searches. How could you do it again? Hey, you actually do have faith in George Payton, right? Nine, I know he's got energy. And, of course, he's a fun guy to cover and a good guy to be around. Those are not good reasons to bring a coach back.
No, and it's one-and-done reasons. And
one
in many
and
respects,
done.
It's reasons why you actually ask yourself after 10 games.
Why he's still here?
Bingo.
Why is he still here?
There's a ding that should have happened.
Why is he still here?
There's a ding that should have happened.
I don't know.
I'm telling you. There you go.
To have all of these things that we just read through happen before week 12, it's embarrassing. It's pathetic. Unfortunately, he's not cut out for the job. And he's incompetent. And that sucks. But that's where we're at.
Because the thing about it is you looked initially, you said, it was easy to buy into this guy. Hey, he worked with Aaron Rodgers. You knew after the first year, look, Rodgers, he struggled with this offense. But again, year number two, which could be another positive we could have put down there. Year number two, Aaron Rodgers did very well. MVP, won the MVP again, back-to-back MVP. But the reality is when it mattered the most, what did the Packers do in the playoffs? With the system.
They went home.
Right.
And they went home early.
And yes, they went to the NFC Championship game, but they also lost the next year.
They lost in Green Bay in December, which is supposed to be impossible to win, Justin. So, haven't you heard that?
Exactly. So now you bring the system back around with Russell Wilson, and as you said, not making those adjustments. You know that a guy is declining. Either he's declining in talent for one reason or another, but not putting something together to where he at least looks better on the field, and it's not happening. The biggest thing for me, and the biggest indictment for me, is once you come out of the break, 1.2 points per game in the third quarter. Last week against the Raiders, you scored only 6 points after halftime. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Choice is yours, George, or Greg, really. Choice is yours, Greg, if we're being honest, because I don't think George is going to make this decision. You might have to make it for him. And what decision should you make? It's really not a hard one. There really isn't a reason why you even consider it. It's time to move on, and I'd probably do it at the end of the regular season, and I would probably make Clint Kubiak your interim head coach at week 16. Let him have the final three games. You start working on your next head coach and guys you want, and then you could figure everything else out from there. But I'd say Nathaniel Hackett has until week 16 at this point. I'd say the hourglass, the sand is dropping, the clock is ticking down. And unless you pull a complete 180, and I'm not even sure, A, that you're capable of that. Well, I know you're not. And I don't even know what it would look like, quite frankly. 30 points a game? Go out and score 30 points. It's week 12. You've got until week 16 to score 30 points a game and make me take you seriously.
Yeah.
Justin Adams, Matt Smith sitting in for the guys in the drive today. Thanks for rocking with us on this Black Friday. When we come up, maybe Justin will be the coach of the Denver Broncos.
Right,
when we come back, we're going to take a lap around the league. Let's talk about some good football. On the slate ahead, we have this weekend, and of course, our predictions for Broncos and Panthers, the ultimate showdown. It's Denver Sports Station, 104.3, The Fan.
Hell yeah!
You had previously asked our RamosLaw.com text line at 303-713-1043. Happy Black Friday to you out there listening, and thanks for riding with us as we had to fill in for the guys today. They will be back on Monday, I think. Who knows? So you had asked for recommendations for gifts for your wife. Would you like to know what the text line said?
I'm writing them down right now.
Brent texts in, get a cute stocking cap and gloves to go with it.
Okay.
Bath and body for your wife. For your son, a Power Wheels.
Ooh.
I don't know what a Power Wheels is.
You don't know what Power Wheels
is? Is that like Hot Wheels?
Oh, my God, yes.
Is that just motorized Hot Wheels?
Yeah, it's motorized. But it's more so like you could actually sit in there as a kid.
Oh, I got you.
Power Wheels.
Yes, I got it. I got
awesome.
It now. Yeah.
Love it.
Somebody recommends if you're getting the jacket, look at Canada Goose because it's very warm.
Okay.
Although I'll say you should just let her pick out what jacket she wants.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested a solar system necklace. I'm going to say if that worked for you, then good for you. But I recommend you do something a little different.
Okay.
Let her pick another big gift, but get her some memorabilia from the place you proposed to her.
It's awesome.
Come on now. That's pretty good.
Here's the only problem.
Yeah, where did you do that?
Proposed to her in the front door. Not really much I could do. We don't live there anymore.
Get a painting commissioned of you on bended knee.
I like that.
In front of your home.
I like that.
In front of your home.
Now, you're the man, dude. I like that idea.
Come on.
We need that.
If any artists want to help out, text in quickly so Justin can get your information.
Yeah.
Let's see. If you're getting her a warm coat, I recommend rechargeable heated gloves. They're awesome. Jeff and Sedalia.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Does she get cold a lot?
Oh, come on, man.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Well, there's your gift option, so I hope it helps. Oh, wait. There was one more for your son.
Okay.
Beyblades, order them off Mall of Toys. So maybe if you're trying to order them online, maybe there's a website called Mall of Toys.
Save me some money.
Yeah. So there you go. We did George Payton's job.
Yes.
We got your wife a really thoughtful and sentimental gift today. We got your son taken care of. What else can our texters do for you?
For me.
Yeah.
What can I give myself? Yeah.
All right, should we just take a look at this Broncos game? I've been ignoring it, man. I've been ignoring it. I don't want to get to it, but you know what? We have to.
We have to. We have 4 minutes left in the show, which is pretty much as much time as we need to dedicate.
Yeah. All right. Panthers, Broncos. Let's take a look at Carolina's defense first. What do you expect from Carolina's defense and Denver's offense?
Right. Brian Burns is the guy you have to look out for. He has 8 sacks this year. There's a reason why there was reports out there during the trade deadline that teams wanted him and were willing to offer 2 first-round picks for this guy. He is really
And Carolina said no.
They want to build for the future. And to be honest, that's the right decision because with the draft pick they'll have, they'll be able to go and get themselves a quarterback, and you can build your team that way. So they're going to be very good. I would say you have to make sure you go and take care of him. You got to run the football. If you're Carolina, you got to stop the run first, as always. And as weird as it may sound at the beginning of the season, make Russ beat you. Make Russ and this offense beat you.
How about for Denver's defense and Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers?
4-7 last year as a starter. Obviously, this is his first start of the year, coming back from that high ankle sprain. You have to make him see ghost. You have to make this guy, you have to hit him plenty of times in this game. You got to stop the run first. I know we talk about
stopping
the run.
Hit him high.
You hit him low. Everywhere. But you have to make sure you do that and make Sam Darnold beat you. It's really the same thing for both teams. You have to make the opposing quarterback beat you in this game because, let's be honest, neither guy can. And I think it's not DJ Chalk, I believe his name. Maybe I'm missing out on
DJ,
his name.
Who are we talking about?
DJ for Carolina.
DJ Moore, excuse me.
DJ Chalk.
Yeah, that guy, he's in Detroit.
He's amazing. So you got to make sure that you go and take him out the game, DJ Moore. So that's Pat Surtain. Take him out of the game. And one guy who may be the X factor in this football game is a guy you and I both know very well, is LaVisca Chenault. He only has, I believe, 1 touchdown this year.
He's got two touchdowns. That's 2 live.
He had 1 touchdown a couple of weeks ago on Thursday Night Football. He is a guy, though, that does have the ability to take it to the house. So make sure that he doesn't beat you when he gets the ball. We know it takes multiple guys to bring him down. But if you could do that, you should be fine.
I'd like to see him doing well.
I really do.
I was just about to say, man. The Broncos could really use a player like that.
Well, somebody who you could give the ball to and get you that extra yard or two.
In the backfield or as a receiver
anywhere,
or as a tight end.
Absolutely anywhere. I would have loved to have him, but you know what? They didn't do that.
But he really doesn't get the ball very much in that offense anyway. But I do think if we're talking about X factors and guys you have to watch out for, number 15 for Carolina on Sunday, even though he's not on the field as nearly as much as he should be. When he's healthy, all you got to do, since I've started watching him play football, just get the guy the ball in space, man, and just get the hell out of his way.
Yep.
For Denver, this is going to be a tough task. Carolina's defense has shown well against some good teams this year. They just held Baltimore in that offense to 13 points on the road. They beat Tom Brady earlier this season with P.J. Walker. And with Sam Darnold, it's an unknown, right? For Sam Darnold, it's always dangerous when you're talking about a desperate player.
Yes.
So I expect a potentially revived Carolina offense. Because if Sam Darnold doesn't work out, then there's nothing for Carolina to be excited about.
Final score, what do you got? Come on. Throw it out there.
Carolina 17, Denver 9.
16-13, Carolina.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Happy
y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving, bro.
Hey, man. George Payton, you heard all that work we did. Yeah. If not, make sure you go listen to the podcast available at denverfan.com or anywhere you get your podcast for our full pros and cons list. If you have trouble making this decision, then you shouldn't be a person who makes decisions.
Bingo.
Thanks, Justin, for sitting in with me today, buddy. Appreciate it.
You're the man, man. Appreciate you.
Colin, well done behind the glass as always, my friend.
Hat tip to you. Skills.
Yeah. Who's that? Who's that supposed to be?
It's just from The Office.
It's just from The Office. Matt Smith, Justin Adams, The Drive, D-Mac, and Derek Wolfe. They'll be back Monday. Thanks for rocking with us on the holiday weekend on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.